Sunday night for the Epiphany. We'll be using Divine Service 1 out of the Lutheran Service Book, hymn numbers 533, 398, 620, and 795. We'll begin with confession and absolution, followed by sharing the peace and the processional hymn. Let us rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us kneel and be seated for the confession of sin. Let us then confess our sins to God, our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. But for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name.
Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Let us rise and face the center and share the peace. Lectern side, the peace of the Lord be with you always. And the pulpit side, the peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen.
Thank you.
through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated for the reading of our lessons from God's Holy Word.
Today's Old Testament reading is from Isaiah chapter 40. Do you not know? Do you not hear? Has it not been told to you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is He who sits above the circle of the earth and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to dwell in, who brings princes to nothing and makes the rulers of the earth as emptiness. Scarcely are they planted, scarcely sown, scarcely has their stem taken root in the earth. When he blows on them, they wither, and the tempest carries them off like stubble. To whom then will you compare me that I should be like him, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see who created these, who brings out their host by number, calling them all by name, by the greatness of his might, and because he is strong in power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. He is understanding and unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. To receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable.
So I do not run aimlessly, I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. We rise for the singing of the Alleluia verse. Simon and those who were with him searched for him. And they found him and said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." And he said to them, "Let us go on to the next towns, that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out." And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. This is the gospel of the Lord. Seated for the children's lesson.
It is good to be in God's house today, and I look forward to sharing my lesson with you today. See, we have one in front of us. I think Beta, is that you? Good to see you. So, what we're talking about today, a couple things I brought along. Jacob, do you have one of these yet?
No.
You don't need one. Can you think of something you do have that might need to be charged up? You have something at home maybe that needs to be charged up to use it? There you go. A remote control car or tablets. So we've come to rely on these pretty heavily these days. And they all need a charge. But when they don't work and the battery is low, we have to plug them in. So I brought along battery pack. So for these kinds of things, it's pretty simple. We use them until they're run down, and then we have to charge them back up. So I thought of this as a great way to talk about the message today. In the message of the gospel, we heard about Jesus visiting Simon and Andrew's house. I think it was Andrew's mother-in-law who was sick with a fever, and they asked Jesus to come in. He reached in. Had her sit up, and her fever was gone. So we know that power of Jesus, and that was really special. And it's one of those stories I'd love to hear, because as that night came along, more and more people in the town and nearby came to Simon and Andrew's house because they heard Jesus was there, and they wanted him to heal them and make them better for whatever their ailment was at that time. So when we think about a battery, Jake, what do you think? Jesus was all charged up and enjoying his time with Simon and Andrew. I think his battery felt when he was, after he had spent all that time healing all those people. Yeah, pretty low. You're right. So what are some things that you and I do that help keep our batteries going? What do we do? Exercise is one. Can you think of something else? How do we recharge ourselves? What do you do at night? Thank you. charged up battery of your soul. And then you've got that energy to share with others and be there. And when we're starting to feel that battery go down, we have church to come to and our Sunday school. And some of us that have can attend here in Emmanuel, you even get that during the day in school. So as you think about how easy it is to charge up these goodies, let us also remember that we need to charge up all the time. We pray. Jacob, sing us some time. What are some times that you can pray? Nighttime. When we get up in the morning. Sometimes we pray at our meals with our families, whether we're at the table or in the car, wherever we may be. It's a time to come together, recharge that spiritual battle, so Jesus can give us what we need to be our best for our life, to share his story, be that light to others. So, join me in a prayer. Dear Jesus, we thank you for giving us a spiritual battle, a battery in prayer. We ask you to remind us to come to you at any time that we can pray and recharge our battery with your love and your messages for us.
We continue with the sermon. You hail to the Lord's anointed on page 11.
Thank you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus is disappointing. It's a strange way to begin the sermon. Jesus disappoints you. It's not something you really want to admit because it sounds so unholy, but Jesus is disappointing. We see this in our gospel reading today. It's been a busy day for Jesus and his disciples. That morning he was in the synagogue and Jesus teaches the people and he drives out an unclean spirit. Afterwards, he goes to Peter's house where his mother-in-law is there, but she is sick in bed with a fever. The Middle Eastern people have a really highly developed sense of hospitality, and she must be feeling terrible about not being there to be able to prepare a meal for Peter and his friends. So Jesus heals her, and she is able to serve them. As the sun sets, the people of Capernaum come to Jesus, bringing those who are sick or oppressed by a demon. That evening, the whole city is gathered at the house. So much sickness, so much demonic possession, so much darkness. Jesus heals many of various diseases. He casts out many demons, forbidding them to speak. Before the sun comes up the next day, Jesus gets up early, sneaks out of town, finds a quiet place to pray. When the others get up and they can't find Jesus in the house, they go and look for him. There are a lot of people who want Jesus to heal more people and drive out more demons. And it sounds like the crowds are already gathering there at Peter's house. Crowds are waiting. But where is Jesus? All these people are going to be disappointed if Jesus doesn't come back and heal them all. Peter and the disciples know this. So when they find Jesus, how does he respond? Does he hurry back to Capernaum and make sure he doesn't disappoint anyone? No. Jesus said to them, "Let us go on to the next towns that I may preach there also. For that is why I came out." The people are left disappointed in Jesus. And you know that feeling. There's great darkness in Capernaum that day with all the disease, all the demons, all the troubles. You know the darkness. You live in the darkness of our present pandemic age with all its isolation and fear and sickness. You live in the darkness of this world with so much disease, so much suffering, so much brokenness, so much evil, so much death. Where is Jesus when you need him? Why doesn't Jesus heal everyone? Why doesn't Jesus get rid of all the darkness? In last week's sermon, we learned that Jesus has authority over Satan. Jesus has authority over the demons. This week we see he has authority over disease. So why does Jesus allow evil, sickness, suffering, and death to even occur? It is a vexing question. Why does God allow evil? Why doesn't God just put an end to all the sickness and evil and death? Why doesn't God end this pandemic? Why, O Lord? Why is Jesus so disappointing? The truth is that what is most important to the people of Capernaum is not what is most important to Jesus. Jesus tells the disciples that he's going to other towns to preach. The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. The people think Jesus' identity is healer and exorcist. But Jesus is so much more than a healer and an exorcist. He is the Savior. He is the sacrifice for the sins of the world.
The people want Jesus to keep doing what he was doing, but Jesus has other things to do. And the people are disappointed. How often are you disappointed that God does not do what you want him to do when you want him to do it? What you want is a good thing, but what is most important to you is often not what is most important to God. Your timetable is not God's timetable. Isaiah 55, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord." And in Peter 3, "But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day." This can be terribly frustrating, and it can feel like God has left you lonely and despairing, waiting at an empty house for Jesus while he's gone off to minister to someone else in another place. American Christianity often makes it seem that sadness and grieving and lament show lack of faith and have no place in the Christian life. The sense is that if you don't go from victory to victory, then something is wrong with your faith. That even if you mourn the death of a loved one, you're showing lack of conviction. If you pray for healing and the healing doesn't come, there must be a problem with you and your belief. But the truth is that the world is full of trouble. Your life is full of trouble. And it is indeed good, right, and salutary to lament the sickness and evil and death in the world and in your own life. It is not a sin to cry out to God in loneliness and despair. How long, O Lord? King David does it. He cries out in Psalm 6, "My soul also is greatly troubled. But you, O Lord, how long?" Psalm 13, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me?" Psalm 130, "Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my pleas for mercy." It is fully acceptable to grieve over the brokenness of the world. Faithful Christians mourn disease, lament over evil, grieve death. Matthew 5, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." Faithful Christians sorrow over this pandemic. Crying out to God in lament does not show lack of faith, but rather it shows great faith. Because despite disease and evil and death, you still know that God is in charge. You cry out to the Lord. Jesus does not promise to heal every disease right away. He does not promise to stop all evil immediately. He does not promise that no one will die. He does promise to eliminate sickness, evil, and death when he returns in glory on the last day. He promises you in your baptism that you belong to him and you are in the kingdom of God right now. He promises to forgive you all your sins. He promises to pour out his forgiveness upon you from this altar with his body and blood given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. When you die, your spirit goes to be with the Lord, and your body waits to be raised from the dead when Jesus returns. He promises that by his death on the cross, your sins are forgiven. And that by his resurrection, you will be resurrected and will live with him forever in the heavenly city of New Jerusalem. Jesus does and can heal. The disappointed people of Capernaum rejoice when Jesus returns after a few days and he preaches to them and heals their sick. When you are sick or troubled, when your loved one is sick, when you see evil in the world, bring it to the Lord. Pray for healing. Pray for comfort. Pray for God's will to be done. And when Jesus disappoints you, cry out in lament, "How long, O Lord?" Confident that God is God, and despite the darkness in this world, you remain the apple of his eye. Amen. And now may the peace of God, the peace that is beyond understanding, keep your hearts and minds in true faith until our Lord Jesus returns in glory. Amen. We rise and confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were. Who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. He will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Our prayers today remember Dick Tendon continuing rehabilitation, Carolyn Ott undergoing chemotherapy, Norm Dingledine recovering from bypass surgery and a pacemaker, Joe Augustine, Natalie Reeder's nephew, who has been able to return home after his accident, for Don Freeman, our custodian, who's had skin cancer on his head and now have to undergo radiation therapy, for Sean Fleming's cousin George, who has Parkinson, is now hospitalized with COVID, for Candy Tendon, who's having medical issues, and Deanna Hughes, Ruth Selmayr's daughter, hospitalized with an infection. Let us pray to the Lord who hath dealt bountifully with us. We give thanks to you, dear Father, for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh, that through him the gospel has been preached, casting out the works of Satan and the corruption of sin, which we could not overcome. By your word, rescue us from every evil of body and soul. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord of the church, give joy to your servants on whom you have laid the necessity of the gospel, that by your means many would be saved in every nation, and that together we may share the blessing of Christ. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, give all Christian homes the endurance that comes from your Holy Spirit, that husbands and wives, parents and children may be disciplined and self-controlled in their duties, run their course in this life, and continue to the end in holy Christian faith, ready to receive the imperishable gift of eternal life. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Almighty God, creator of the world and its foundations, you hold might over the powers of nature and the rulers of the earth. Graciously preserve our land, its produce and industry, and our leaders together with our people. Do not disregard us for our sins, but renew us, that our life may be peaceful and our country governed according to your will. Lord, in your mercy. Your Son is the great physician of body and soul, at whose hands demon, disease, and every ill effect of sin must turn away. We bring before you those in any need, especially Dick, Karen, Norm, Joe, Don, George, Candy, and Deanna. Lord, in your mercy. Holy Father, where there is forgiveness of sins, there is also life and salvation. Bring us in such faith to your holy sacrament that the blood of Christ, which atoned for our sin, may make us whole, strengthen us against every spiritual attack of the devil, turn us in love toward our neighbor, and preserve us in body and soul to life everlasting. Lord, in your mercy. All these things, and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again and now lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever. Forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us to do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship of the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." The same way also took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me."
The peace of the Lord be with you always. Take
the blood of Christ shed for you. Blood of Christ shed for you. Take and drink the blood of Christ shed for you. The blood of Christ shed for you.
Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen you and preserve you in true faith unto life everlasting. Heart and peace. Your sins are forgiven. Who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.